Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We've got two Irish cars to look forward to on Sunday over the sticks at Tramore and on the flats at Dundalk. And we'll have Stuart Beasley, Richie McGrath and Mick Norton in the studio from 1:50. But in the meantime, it's Dundalk that will be taking the focus of our podcast today. My name is Sam Norris and I'm joined on the line by Andy Holding. Morning, Andy.
Morning, Sam.
You good today?
I am, mate. Yeah. Quite looking forward to this afternoon stuff. I think it's a very good card for a Sunday. You know, those two handicaps, that six furlong race, the 3:40 in the final race, are probably the two of the best all-weather handicaps I've seen there for quite a while. So we're looking forward to getting stuck into the action.
Really good to have this sort of racing on a Sunday over from Ireland. The 5:45 especially worth €30,000 to the winner. So looking forward to that one. Crack right on with the action then. The first race of the day is the 2:40. This one over five furlongs, five runners down to go to post there. And Almadar leads the market at 2-1. It's 5-2 for Sylvan Mist. Chicklay is 11-4. Prince Connoisseur 4-1 and 8-1 for Above the Law. 2-1 market leader here, Almadar, hasn't won over the minimum trip for 2 years now, Andy. Would that concern you?
Yeah, that would be a slight concern. I mean, this is a really tightly knit affair. You could fancy all four in this race, given some of their pick of their best races. So I'm not going to be sort of mad keen on putting anything up very strongly, but I do think Above the Law will certainly outrun his odds here. He's currently around about the 8-10-1 mark this morning, and in a small field here at Dundalk, he's usually pretty dangerous. And even though he's not that well treated on the official ratings here, and I think that's what makes him at the price he is, I still think he's got a good chance of proving one or two people wrong here. He's really good here at Dundalk, but he's also very good from the front when he's allowed to dominate in small fields. And that's exactly what happened to him the last time when we saw him here at Dundalk, when in the hands of Sean Corby. He took the running up, turning for home, and never really saw another rival. Obviously, Almadar, who is back in fifth, is much better off at these revised terms. And technically, he should turn the tables around. But it's not always about weights and measures in these races, I always think. And sometimes the run of the race and the tactical, the way you're ridden tactically can prove the final reckoning at the end of the day. So even though the other four are better off, I think Above the Law certainly outrun his odds. If he gets to the front in the hands of Christina Simpson, I predicted he will. It could be a tough nut to crack.
Okay, fair enough. Above the Law in that one for Andy, who's available 8-1 at the time of recording with us here at William Hill. Next up on the card is the 3:10, a six furlong maiden here, and we've got a very, very short price favourite in Toscanini, who is 1-4, and I mean attempting to lose its maiden tag on the fifth time of asking here, but it's been running in some classy races, being beaten by some classy horses. I'm almost surprised to see it here at Dundalk, Andy.
Yeah, so am I. Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't trained by Mickey Halford, I don't think we'd see this horse. Mickey's obviously done particularly well at this all-weather venue for many, many years, and he's obviously spotted a little chink of light in the programme here and a bit of respite for Toscanini, who's been running amazingly well. He's yet to get his head in front, but you couldn't fault his efforts in defeat. That run at a Royal Ascot was a very high-class one behind Richard Pankhurst. The race, of course, has worked out really well. Duke of Whittington back in third, and the fourth horse as well has also won out of that race. And he bumped into Dick Whittington again the last time we saw him, and he came off second best behind Aidan O'Brien's charge. But as we saw, Dick Whittington, a Group 1 winner last week, who floored several good two-year-olds in beating Cool Company and the like. I mean, that's top-class form. So, like I say, I don't think there's anything negative to look at Toscanini just because he's finished second three times. And this should be the ideal opportunity for him to get his head in front. The obvious danger looks to be General Marshall, who was well fancied on debut down in Cork and ran OK. He finished third behind a horse who was quite exposed, one of Tommy Stack's called Blackbriar, but that actually was not a bad race on the time, so he's probably run a little bit better than the form figures suggest. But the speed figure horse is definitely Toscanini, the class horse is Toscanini, and as his odds suggest, he should win this quite comfortably.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult, I think, for anything else to get ahead in that race. Just a little bit of money this morning for General Marshall, 4-1 now from 9-2 when the market opened. Move on into the next race on the card, the 3:40. This one, it's a 6 furlong handicap, one of those good looking handicaps that we mentioned, Andy, and Zulti is the market leader here at 5-2, and this is another horse really that looks almost too good for this field.
Yeah, I agree with you as well. Yeah, I've actually backed Zulti this morning. Some firms went 4-1 about this horse, and I think he'll probably go off around about the 5-2 mark in the end, basically because he's running the best 2 6 furlong handicaps so far this season. One of them was at the Curra. That was back on the 28th of June, which has thrown up a whole multitude of subsequent winners. The time of the race is very fast, and Line of Reason, who won that race, has gone on to win subsequently. But horses like Discussion to Follow and Album Star, just the main couple of others, were in behind Zulti. Now, Zulti actually came out the best on face value in that race, because he was the only one from a low figure draw to actually get in the first 4 or 5 that day. All the paces up the standside rail. So he certainly upgraded David Marnane's charge, and therefore, it wasn't a great surprise to see him very strongly fancied at York next time out in that similarly hot 6 furlong handicap, the race that Muthmere took prior to him going on to finish 4th in the Stewards' Cup. Back in 2nd was Gold Ream, of course, who won on Shergar Cup Day. Time in the race again was incredibly fast. Rennie Mathis has won the 3rd. And Zulti, again, he wasn't done any favours by the draw. He was drawn in stall 2, but again, all the actions took place at the stand side, and he finished really strongly, eye-catchingly, down the inside of the course on the unfavoured part of the track. So he's 2 runs in 2 of the best 6 furlong sprint handicaps this season. Can probably be upgraded. He now goes back to Dundalk, where he's won 2 races in 3 starts, so he loves the all-weather. He could have done with a slightly better draw, but that's the only slight negative in Trap 10. Other than that, he's got everything going for him. He should get a strongly run race. And if class is anything and the speed figure is anything to go by, Zulti is very much the one to beat.
Fair enough then. Next up is the 4:15, 7 furlong maiden this one, and we've got another odds on favourite at the top of the market. Qualify is 8-13. Is the Aidan O'Brien horse justifiably short here, Andy?
Probably not as short as 8-13. I think that is a bit skinny, but it's still going to be the selection, unless you're of an each way persuasion and you want to back the second favourite each way in the shape of Foolish Ways. Well, you've got 2 choices really, whichever one you want to go for. I think Qualify will probably win, however. That run first time out was a very eye-catching run in what has turned out to be one of the best and most strongly run fillies maidens of the season. That was behind Words, again another race which has worked out incredibly well. And then she went just off the back of one run into Group 3 company, and once again she acquitted herself very well, finishing 3rd behind Jack Naylor and Agnes Stewart in that Silver Flash 7 furlong Group 3 contest. Those two horses are really top class. I think we're going to be hearing big things about not only Jessica Harrington's charge, but the second horse as well, trained by Edward Lynham. And to finish there, like I say, against that Exalted Company, certainly suggests that this should be a mere formality for her. Not a bad draw here. 7 furlongs, obviously fine. Probably be aggressively ridden by Joseph O'Brien. He'll keep it simple. The main danger looks to be Foolish Ways, who caught the eye in a decent maiden won by Pleased Shock on her debut, again at the same track. Staying on quite nicely for mild pressure in the latter stage. He's simply a star who was 2nd as one since. So you have got an each-way alternative if you didn't want to back the favourite, but I do think the favourite will win.
All right, and qualify in that one for Andy. Next up on the card is the 4:45, another 7 furlong made in this one, and Mansouri leads the market at 11-8. It's 7-2 for Chief Suspect, 7-2 Refuse to Listen. Elusive Lawrence is 4-1, 9-2 for Walk Right Back, and 20-1 or bigger prices the remainder. Who are you going for here, Andy?
Yeah, this is a really intriguing maiden, this one, Sam. I'm really keen on the second favourite here, one of the second favourites, horse called Chief Suspect. I'm going to make this horse my nap on the Dundalk card this afternoon. I think Mansouri is definitely the one to beat with a rating of 78, but he has had 8 attempts and he's becoming quite an expensive horse to follow. He ran well enough last time out in a handicap at Leopardstown, finishing quite strongly up the inside over inadequate 6 furlongs. But, you know, Joan Lange is probably not quite satisfied with the way this horse is going about his work, and he's got the first time cheek pieces on. That contraption might well work for Mansouri, but even so, I do think Chief Suspect is worth more than the second look here. First of all, comes from a stable in really good form. Jane Foley's horses are in cracking shape. Suburban Sky and Surreal have been recent winners for that small stable, and this horse caught the iron debut in a race where he was very, very slowly away back on the 12th of July here at this track. But he made that ground up quite nicely. He looked as though he was going to be a threat going down to the furlong pole, only to get hampered late on. Once his winning chance had gone, he was eased off. He then went to Galway, again nibbled out in the market, And similar fate awaited him on that particular occasion when the door slammed in his face as he rounded the home turn. I think with a clear run, he certainly would have given the winner, Antique Platinum, plenty to think about. And he might have actually won with a clearer run. So I think he can upgrade his two performances. One of them has been at the track, so I think that'll stand him in good stead. And if he can get sort of 7-2, 4-1 about this horse with the dead eight runners, I think Chief Suspect will definitely give you a massive run for your money each way.
Chief Suspect, the selection for Andy in the 4:45. Next up is the 5:15, the penultimate race of the day, a 1 mile handicap this one, and Moonmeister leads the market at 4-1. The Dancing Lord is 9-2, Victor's Beach 6-1. It's 13-2 for Captain's Dilemma and Princess Aloof, and Carla's Princess is 7-1. It's 10-1 bar those. Who catches the eye here, Andy?
Quite a few, actually, Sam. I mean, this is a really difficult race. Wouldn't be overly dogmatic about how this race is going to pan out. I do think Moonmeister's a tad short in the betting for what he's actually achieved. He won at Bellierstown two starts ago, and he thought, right, this horse is on the improve, and, you know, we can follow him with confidence. But those of us that took that particular route got our fingers badly burnt last time at Fairy House when he was a shade disappointing when he was sent off 2-1 favourite. If he can bounce back, then I certainly think he's capable of winning a race like this. You've got Captain's Dilemma, comes here off the back of a win the other day down in Tipperary, and he loves this track. If he gets an easy lead out in front in the hands of Philip Donovan, like he did that day at Tipperary, then he could be quite difficult to beat. But all things being equal, I like one each way here at a much bigger price. Horse called Shabra Emperor. Now, you can strip down his last four or five runs. They've all been on turf. And plain and simply, this horse just doesn't go on the turf. He's never won in 50 races. But you put him on the all-weather surface here at Dundalk, and he really comes to life. His last 12 runs, he's only ever been out of frame twice. If you take away one or two of those runs, albeit they were quite good, his form figures read 3-1, 3-2, 3-3, 2-3. So you can see he's a massively consistent horse when the conditions are in his favour. And the last time he ran here, he was third behind the now much improved David Namarnane trained High Emperor. That was back on the 25th of April. He's actually £2 lower than that particular effort. So he actually comes in here in pretty good order, having had one or two runs recently on the flat. He's back to his favourite surface. He's got Joseph O'Brien on board. He's drawn in store one. I can't understand why he's 12-1. So let's back Shabra Emperor each way, or maybe place only on the pro market in the 5:15.
Okay, a bit of value in that race in Shabra Emperor, who is 12-1 this morning. We'll move on into the final race of the day, the 5:45 1 mile 2 furlong handicap. This one, and it looks a really tough one to call here. Panama Hat and the Big Cat share the lead of the market at 5-1. Panama Hat, of course, chasing a fifth consecutive win. It's 6-1 about Alaska, Azurite, and Shalamzar, and 13-2 or bigger the rest of them. It's good to see the last race of the day being the best race of the day. It's not always the case, is it? But it looks pretty tough, this one.
Yeah, nobody's definitely going to be going home Dundalk after the 5:15. Yeah, the best race has definitely been saved to last. What an absolute belter this is. I think this is probably the best handicap I've seen with Dundalk for many, many years, and hopefully we'll get a race to savour as well. So many horses you can talk about and mention here. So many informed horses, three-year-olds as well. Panama Hat off the back of four wins. How will he react to the all-weather surface for the first time? You've got the Big Cat, really nice horse by John Ox. Another improving three-year-old, Zarib as well. He's 1-for-1 at the track and comes here following two good runs. And then you've got the old stalwarts here, the ones that have been round the block and got the T-shirt, the likes of Cardinal Palace, Akasaka, General Brook, Long Journey Home. You name it, they're all there. But, you know, this will take plenty of finding. I think there's one that's been slightly overpriced this morning. I think one or two bookmakers have chalked him up a little bit too big on the back of a slightly disappointing run at Galway last time out, and the horse in question is called Ned's Indian, who's been available to back around about the 12-14-1 mark this morning. I think he's got a much better chance than his odds suggest, basically because he loves it here at Dundalk. Again, you scrub away his last three runs, albeit they've been quite good. His last five runs here at Dundalk have been 3-1, 2-2-1, a massively consistent horse, a huge improver. I just didn't think he stayed the trip last time out at Galway. They made quite a bit of use of him. They rode him aggressively, and he just didn't quite get home over that stiff mile and a half. Prior to that, he'd run really well in a strongly run time race down in Leopardstown, which has thrown up two subsequent winners. If he runs to that level, Ned's Indian, I definitely think he's got a big chance. And he's likely to do so as well. Going back to Dundalk, he's got low draw. He races handily. Again, another horse that I think is overpriced today here on the all-weather at Dundalk, Ned's Indian.
Okay, then Ned's Indian, the pick for Andy in the last one, who looks to go off at a rather attractive price. You could just spin us through, Andy, one more time, please, your selections for Dundalk on Sunday.
Yeah, a bit of a mix and match for us today at Dundalk. One or two big prices, one or two short ones. In the first race, I'll take a chance at the outside of the lot, above the law, outruns his odds. in the second race to 3.10, I think the favourite should justify his market position, Toscanini. 3.40, one of the best handicaps run here of its kind for quite a few years. And Zulti, the classy horse in the race, hopefully should take a high rank in that. The 4.15, my best bet on the card. The 4.15 should go the way of qualify, as his odds suggest. Best bet in the card is the 4.45, top one on the race card, chief suspect, off the back of two. Really promising runs, should go close there. And the 5.15, another tricky handicap to contend with, but the ever-consistent Shabarampa, well-drawn for Joseph O'Brien, should go well there at a price. And in the final race, again, another one that I think has been slightly overlooked in the market, needlessly, and that's Ned's Indian, who can be backed around about 14-1 this morning.
Okay, thanks for that. There we go. The thoughts of Andy Holding on Sunday's action from Dundalk, one of two Irish meetings, Dundalk on the flat and Tramore on the jumps. There's Pontefract and Southall domestically, and Stuart Beasley, Richie McGrath, and Mick Norton will be here from 1:50 p.m. to guide you through all of the action. Thank you for joining me today on the podcast, Andy, and I hope you enjoy the racing from Dundalk.
Certainly will, mate. Cheers, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.